You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, another Winky Wednesday episode. My guest today, Nick Winkler, joining me every week here. He is the voice of the fan. And Nick, I hope that's okay with you being the voice of the fan. That's what I've dubbed you now. And so the fans out there that are listening, you have no choice. Nick Winkler is now speaking for you. So we'll see what he has to say for you. In today's episode, when we get into the latest surrounding the 49ers, J.J. Watt signing in Arizona, the Niners checking in on Teddy Bridgewater, maybe, and calling the Carolina Panthers. I have some thoughts on that. We'll see what thoughts Nick Winkler has on that. And then we will dip into the Locked On 49ers mailbag and address some of your questions. At BD Peacock is where you can find me here. You can subscribe to this pod everywhere. You can find the Peacock and Williamson podcast, which I co-host with Matt Williamson, former NFL and college scout. We're talking about the entire NFL daily right here on the network. And now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, what's happening, my man? How are you? How's the offseason treating you so far?
It's been brutal. I'm not going to lie to you. Running a restaurant is not very easy during COVID times, but there's been so much to distract me, you know, which has been great because, you mentioned the voice of the fan. Like, I'm sure I'm just like everybody else out there. The first thing we do in the morning, hop on Twitter, see what's trending. You know,
did we
sign a quarterback? Did a quarterback go somewhere? Who are we flirting with? Like, who's the latest quarterback that the 49ers want to go get? Like, that's at the forefront of my mind every single morning when I wake up. And I'll be honest, when I go to bed at night, too.
And then when you see one of those tweets, this is the result.
DeWink is on fire!
Right? Did you get fired up when you saw
that? Depends on the tweet.
Did you just get fired up with the report that the 49ers called the Carolina Panthers about Teddy Bridgewater?
I did. I mean, even if he's not going to come in and replace Jimmy, because I don't know if that's an upgrade, it's at least an upgrade at your backup quarterback position. You know, and it comes in, you bring in a veteran that could, you know, possibly push Jimmy, that could really make him, you know, get on the field if he's got just a little bit of a sprained ankle, you know, like. That's to me is what the 49ers need to do. If they're not going to move away from Jimmy Garoppolo, if they're going to stick with him for another year, you got to improve what's behind him because Beathard, Mullins, not getting it done.
The Bridgewater one is interesting because there's zero chance. The Bridgewater one makes less sense than any of the quarterbacks we've talked about. Even Andy Dalton, which I think is just, it doesn't inspire confidence that you're going to spend money on a backup. So now you're spending $30 million. On your quarterback room because you don't trust that your starter is going to be able to stay healthy. And you know, I guess Andy Dalton's better than Mullins and Beathard. I mean, he definitely is, but that's the direction you think you need to go. That's just really weird. Let's spend more money at quarterback. So to me, it's Deshaun Watson or the draft. But when it comes to Bridgewater.
That's the only two?
Oh, no, yeah. It's Watson or the draft, period, for me. If you want a backup, draft a backup. And develop that guy. And if he's good enough to be a starter, he'll be a starter someday. But at least you'll have a cheap young backup. You can't throw money at quarterback right now. More money.
But you say draft only. I mean, what about if the Jets wanted to dump, you know, Darnold and then maybe you go draft and Darnold, or you go you go Fitzpatrick, or you go if Matt Ryan becomes available, and then you have that kind of stopgap while this other young guy learns the system.
But that's a non-Jimmy. So I'm kind of talking about with Jimmy, like for Jimmy's backup.
If
you go to the draft, like if you're trading up in the draft, like Mel Kiper's latest mock draft going up to get, say, Justin Fields in the top. Actually, he had Fields falling to 7. But if you're moving up for a quarterback, to me, you're saying goodbye Jimmy right there with that move, right? Whether it's day one or not. But you know you want... And maybe that rookie quarterback just flat out will beat out Jimmy Garoppolo for the starting job anyway. If you're moving up to get a quarterback, the decision's been made, save the money, right? So keeping Jimmy doesn't mean spend more money for his backup. To me, you need a cheap backup, which is a rookie that could potentially push him, but that's not a trade-up scenario. That's staying at 12 or even drafting a quarterback later. If you're going up to get a quarterback or if you're spending resources on bringing in a quarterback from the outside, to me, you're replacing Jimmy Garoppolo because you've already made that decision that you have to spend resources to fix quarterback. And like if it's a cheap backup that's just at some point better than Mullins better than C.J. Beathard, and he's a number two guy, a veteran quarterback that costs almost nothing, then that's fine. I get that. That makes sense. But if you're spending $5 million, now you're over the $30 million mark for your quarterback right. position. That just doesn't make sense in this offseason to be spending that much money. And I saw a recent – I'm going to get to the Bridgewater stuff in a second. But I saw a recent tweet from Matt Maiocco. I don't have it pulled up. But essentially, they were trying to compare like what – signing someone like Andy Dalton would mean, or signing, you know, a high level backup. And essentially Maiocco said something to the effect of he it's like having a sports car that you need. Oh gosh, you know what? I got to get it right because I want to get his quote right here.
So, no, we could pause this real quick.
I will
get that right.
Quote. No, that's all right. We can kill some time. I'll find it really quick here. And
No worries.
Essentially. So real quick, we'll go to Darnold while I look for this. So Sam Darnold is interesting, but Darnold is not, again, you're going to spend resources to get him.
Right.
And then you're having some competition in camp and he costs money. I don't know. To me, if you're going for Darnold, you're replacing Garoppolo. So that's why any of the Garoppolo stuff, it's like, oh, but then you don't know if you're getting better and you're still probably drafting a guy. So Watson or draft in some combination is really the only thing that makes sense, because you're still going to the draft even if you trade away Jimmy or cut Jimmy or whatever happens and bring in Darnold, you're still going to the draft. If it's Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're still going to the draft, right? You're obviously going to the draft in that case. So
yeah, so since we're talking about the draft, as the representative of the fans here, I gotta do my due diligence here. So I don't do mock drafts. I'm not a big college guy, right? I love the pros and I love the draft itself. I haven't been able to do any research at all. Please break it down for me. Where the 49ers sit right now, if they don't trade up, what are the possibilities that someone like, obviously Lawrence is going to be gone. Fields most likely going to be gone. Is there a chance that a Trey Lance or a Zach Wilson falls to them there? I mean, or is it more so likely that four or five of the top quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10?
If I had to bet, I would say four quarterbacks go before 12.
Wow.
That's my guess.
The four that I named?
Like
Lance, Fields, Lawrence, Wilson?
Mac Jones is getting a lot of heat, and I wouldn't even take Mac Jones at 12 for the 49ers. And so that's the one that scares me a little bit. There's a lot of connection with, I think it was Mike Tannenbaum, who was a former GM for the Jets and the Dolphins. He was on ESPN saying that he thought the latest Mac Jones could go was the eighth pick at the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
And the Panthers coached him at the Senior Bowl week. And so there's a connection there with the Panthers and potentially Mac Jones. And the Panthers are in on all kinds of quarterbacks this offseason. They might go really hard at a star quarterback like Dak Prescott or Deshaun Watson, by the way. But he said the floor for Mac Jones is number eight. And I think that's insane. I think Mac Jones is more of a second round guy. I would put the over-under on Mac Jones probably like the Saints pick 28 or something like that. I wouldn't even take him at 12 for the 49ers there. So I'd be focused on the top four. Of those other four, Trey Lance, just because he played one season. I keep saying D2 and someone called me out on it. Like the whole FCS thing
there is no D2.
I don't even know what you call it anymore, what it's supposed to be. To me, it's D2. It's not, it's not a big time D1 college in competition at North Dakota State. But Carson Wentz came from there. Some other who's at Easton Stick, some other NFL quarterbacks have come from that program, and Trey Lance is the latest. And he had an awesome freshman season in 2019 as a redshirt freshman. 28 touchdowns, zero interceptions, another 1,000 rushing yards. So he's getting compared to Steve McNair, and that's, he's a big-bodied guy, but he can run, and he's got a cannon for an arm, but, needs more work. He started one season at that level of football when his team was better than everybody else's. So you win all the games, throw zero interceptions, but the competition is a question. Only one season, then, they didn't really have – they played one game this year. They didn't have a season really in 2020. So he's been a one-year-plus starter, basically. So that's tough for me to see that a team or that I could say, the 49ers should go trade up for him, even though he's extremely talented. But he falls to 12. It's like, okay, let's go. Now you got your guy. And he would be a nice fit behind Jimmy Garoppolo because he might not be ready early in his career. But I would be willing to bet there's such a small chance. I've seen it a couple times in some mock drafts and some rankings that the top three guys, Lawrence is number one. Then it comes down to Fields and Wilson. Right now, it's looking like Wilson might be just a little bit ahead of Fields, but both of them, I think, are going to be gone in the top four picks or something like that. And that's why, you know, the draft is insane. It can go a number of
ways,
but that's what we're looking at right now for the 49ers. Probably on the outside looking in, unless they want to move up for a quarterback. If you're moving up for a quarterback, you better believe that guy should be able to start early in his career, and the 49ers would probably want him to. And if you've already made that decision, you're moving on from Garoppolo. Like, Garoppolo's a lame duck, even if he stayed at that point. Just move on from Garoppolo and save the money, spend the money elsewhere, because you didn't use your first pick on whatever positions and roster spots you need to fill.
Right. That makes sense. I mean, we're sitting here, we're less than 2 months away from the draft. So, I mean, it's time,
it's
the league season starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. The league season starts in what, like 2 weeks? I mean, it's crunch time. Like, now's the time when we're going to start hearing more and more. I want to see more mock drafts. I love when people tag me in mock drafts, because I haven't done any. So it's fun to see them. It's fun to like look at them and be like, okay, I'm going to start memorizing names here. And, okay, I'm going to click on that. I'm going to watch a little video on this guy. I'm going to check that out. Like, it's allowing me to do some homework when I've got a free minute or two, which, you know, with two kids running a restaurant during a pandemic, not a whole lot of that time laying around.
Not a whole lot of time. So you it's like a reverse engineering. People put names on your plate and you go, okay, well, let's see what this guy's all about. Oh, this is a tall
wide
receiver.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Oh, this is a short wide receiver. Okay, I'm starting to see what these guys are about. I see, this guy's this is a fast quarterback. Oh, this is a slow quarterback. What a good arm. And like, you kind of see how all that kind of meets together. Yeah.
Yeah. See, Peacock gets it.
No, I totally understand that. Okay, when we come back here, I have the quote on Twitter from Mayoko, and I want to talk about Teddy Bridgewater and why I think the 49ers called the Carolina Panthers next. Super Bowl Sunday has come and gone. The 2020 season is over, but there's plenty to bet on at betonline.ag when it comes to sports and football and NFL football. We've got NFL draft props, but maybe the funnest thing, I think it's Super Bowl Sunday and March Madness are the best times to bet on sports throughout the year. So this month is going to be fun, and we didn't get the tournament last year. It is tourney time, March Madness. Get in on the action at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. On that subject of Jimmy G, real quick. So Mayoko was responding to somebody on Twitter that goes by the name of Dan that said, focusing on improving the backup says a lot about the starter. It's like doing a paint job on a car with no engine. Matt Mayoko comes back and says, I'd say not having a reliable backup is more like having a high-performance sports car with no spare tire or replacement parts. Yeah. A solid backup is a guard against the season spiraling completely out of control if the starter has to go into the garage for a while.
Or just driving around without insurance. Like,
I mean, Mayoko's the greatest. Dan, I think, is missing the boat a little bit. I think they're both wrong, because I think it's somewhere in the middle. I would say it's more like having a really nice pickup truck in Jimmy Garoppolo, but the tailgate's wonky. So you go out and you spend a whole bunch of money on a really nice trailer just in case the tailgate goes out when you're on the freeway. So you can put everything in the trailer instead, right? But then you still might be picking up stuff off the freeway and it's probably still not going great for you. And the combined cost of the truck and the trailer, you could get a much nicer truck without a problem with the tailgate or that actual sports car. That's what I would say the Jimmy Garoppolo backup quarterback situation is. I mean, spare tire is cheap. You need a spare tire, go get a spare tire. You should definitely have one of those. But if you need a high-end backup that you're going to go win a lot with, go deep into the playoffs with, that's going to be costly. Potentially the cost of a starting caliber corner.
Okay, so here we go. What if it's similar to you want a really good sound system in your car, right? So you go out, you spend all these money on speakers and subwoofers in your trunk and this and that, but then you got an 8-track player. You know, hanging out in the front of your car. Like, we could do this all day. Like, there's gotta be somewhere in between. You gotta get the right person to be the quarterback of your team. Is that Jimmy Garoppolo? We've seen flashes of it, right? It's clear that we don't have the backup on this team right now. Like, there's not that insurance policy, that safety net there. If something does happen to Jimmy again, if they're talking about they are going to go the Jimmy G route again, then yeah, you got to bring somebody else in. And I like what you're saying about the draft. I love the idea of bringing in a young guy who, like you said, also could beat him out in camp. Like, if this guy really is going to be a top 10 or top 12 pick in the NFL draft, he should be able to come in and possibly win a starting job right away.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're drafting one early. So that's why all along I've said, you know what? I bet what's going to happen. Everything else is going to be too expensive for whatever veteran upgrades over Jimmy Garoppolo. They like Jimmy. They should like Jimmy. They've won a lot of games with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. Cross their fingers, he stays healthy. They keep him, maybe bring in a veteran quarterback, and then probably decide not to, or one of those top quarterbacks is not there at 12. They draft a different player there, maybe draft a player later. And that's still the way I think it's most likely to go for the 49ers. But there are some crazy scenarios out there. I went through an entire podcast yesterday with Cody Davis, the host of Locked On Texans. Everybody should check that out. It was really fun. We were sitting in as Nick Caserio and John Lynch as GMs of the Texans and 49ers. And he told me about what the Texans might be looking for. I think it's really funny that the Locked On Texans hosts and John McClain, who writes and covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, when the whole story first broke, it was like zero chance, never happening. Hell would freeze over before the Texans traded Deshaun Watson. And they've all changed their tunes now. And they're like, yeah, you know what? You kind of have to. Now's the time you should trade him. You probably got to do it before the draft to maximize your return. So it's pretty amazing to see how that idea has flipped. And so now you got to wait to see if that actually happens in the Texans front office and they start picking up the phone and answering calls from teams that might be calling trying to trade for Deshaun Watson. So I made my official offer, and you know, he kind of countered, and we talked about what that trade might look like and what it could cost the 49ers if they did make that call on Deshaun Watson. So the call about Teddy Bridgewater and the Carolina Panthers. I love this story because this story makes perfect sense to me, and it has nothing to do with Teddy Bridgewater replacing Jimmy Garoppolo or being his backup. Garoppolo, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater makes almost as much as Garoppolo. I talked about maybe having $30 million wrapped up in starter and backup. If you bring in Teddy Bridgewater, now you got almost $60 million with your two quarterbacks, right? Or like 50.
Oof.
So, I mean, that's just not a thing that's going to happen. The only scenario I could actually see with Teddy Bridgewater being on the 49ers is if the Panthers were giving away Teddy Bridgewater and the Niners got a really good offer from another team for Jimmy Garoppolo and were deciding to go to that rookie route and wanted a quarterback and liked Bridgewater as potentially a stopgap for that rookie they were going to draft.
Say the Panthers got Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
They were just going to basically dump Bridgewater.
Yeah, and they're like, well, he's got to go somewhere now, so they dump him. More like you gain draft picks for taking on that contract or something like that, you know.
That'd be tough, though, because they're going to have to give up so much to get Deshaun Watson. I doubt they're going to want to dump any more draft picks.
Yes. And I don't think Watson makes that much sense for the Panthers, even if they really want him and could put together an offer, because if they did put together that offer, they'd be trading number 8. They'd be trading, you know, Christian McCaffrey and Brian Burns or something. You're like, who are they trading there? They become the Texans. They would be awful with a good quarterback, right?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So
it's funny, too. You mentioned the Texans and you mentioned John McClain, and that he's like the one beat writer I know from any other team that's not the 49ers because he has the coolest name in all of sports writing.
Die Hard. It's spelled differently than Bruce Willis's character in Die Hard.
You hear John McClain and you immediately think yippee-ki-yay, right?
And he's the guy that he made a bet. So this is funny because it was a similar statement. He made some sort of a statement online or a bet, said, I'll eat the front page of the newspaper if, you know, blank, blank happens. And that thing, whatever it was, I don't remember what it was now, did happen. So he took a video of himself eating the newspaper. Like, he ate it. And so when the Deshaun Watson stuff broke, his tweet was, I have a better chance of being hired as the next head coach of the Texans as Deshaun Watson does of being traded away. And lo and behold, he did not get hired as head coach, and looks like Deshaun Watson could potentially be traded away. And the headline of McClain's latest on Sunday for the Houston Chronicle was, it's time to trade Deshaun Watson, or it's time to make a deal. So everybody's coming around on it. I don't know when the Texans will. But one more note on Bridgewater. The reason I think the 49ers are calling Teddy Bridgewater, it's probably the same reason they've checked in on almost every quarterback. Some of them probably with legit interest in bringing them in, but some of them maybe not. Just knowing the market and doing your job. And if you know what Teddy Bridgewater and Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford are worth, then you have a better idea of what Deshaun Watson's going to be worth. You have a better idea of what Jimmy Garoppolo's worth if you need to shop him. So you call the Panthers and they say, hey, we want a third round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, you say, oh, good. That means we get at least a second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo when we shop him, right? And so I think.
Right. We got a quarterback that led a team to a Super Bowl over here.
Right. Yeah. And we talked a little bit about this on Monday on the Peacock and Williamson podcast. They're just doing their job, and I love that part of it. It sucks for Jimmy to hear this and hear these rumors, and maybe they've already talked to Jimmy's agent and be like, look, you're going to hear this stuff. Whatever, we're doing our jobs. We might be in the quarterback market, so we have to know the market. So you're calling all the teams and knowing what people are offering, and we know how John Lynch operates. He's competitive, and he's traded down just one spot in half of his drafts so far in the first round, right? He did it in 2017 and did it last year. Moved down just one spot to get that extra fourth-round pick. Like, that's how competitive he is. He traded all of his picks last year. So you can bet he's going to want to do what he has to have all of his ducks in a row. If he does have to make a deal and trade away Jimmy Garoppolo or make a deal to trade for Deshaun Watson, know what the market is and know what things cost. So that's what I think the Bridgewater call is all about. I have no idea. I have no doubt he made that call. And I think it has 0% to do with actually bringing Teddy Bridgewater to the 49ers.
It's funny you say, like, you feel bad for Jimmy, but I mean, I don't feel bad for Jimmy. You know, when you're going to be a quarterback in the NFL, I mean, and that's like your lifelong goal and everything, you got to have thick skin, and you're getting paid tens of millions of dollars. You know, like, he'll be all right. Jimmy will get through this.
I don't feel that bad for Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah, you're right. You know who I feel bad for? Nick Winkler. He could have been the next great fullback for the San Francisco 49ers. Never got there.
If only I liked getting hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm a little too soft for that, apparently.
I don't think height, weight, speed would have been on par either.
I'm a little short. Yeah, I'm pretty fast, though. You got to watch out for that speed.
It's foot quickness more than speed. Sneaky yeah, fast, right?
Sneaky fast, yeah. I'll get you. I got game speed. I'm like, it doesn't show up on tape. You know, it shows up game day. In practice, so much.
Yeah. GPS would have a nice speed for you, but when you ran the 40, it wouldn't wow the scouts that were hand-timing you.
No, they'd be like, okay, yeah, next.
You would stand up on the line like, you know what? You don't have to run. Next.
Yeah, okay. Actually, no, he's good.
Got some questions coming up about cornerbacks in the draft. The 49ers will go back to the well at one of their favorite colleges to draft from under this regime. Nick's favorite subject, pizza, coming up. Built Bar cooking up something very special for the month of March. I almost said the munch of March, which would be appropriate. March Madness Built Bar Bracket. I'm thinking the one seeds got to be in the peanut butter flavor family. I've talked about the peanut butter flavor. It's my favorite, the straight up peanut butter, but there's peanut butter crispy that's really good. Peanut butter brownie. It's essentially like the North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky of Built Bar flavors, in my opinion, is the three peanut butter flavors. But I know there's a big push amongst Locked On hosts for this new coconut brownie flavor. So that might be one of the ones seeds. So we'll see how this thing gets seeded out for the Built Bar bracket during the munch. There it is again, the month of March. And promo code, a brand new promo code for 20% off at BuiltBar.com, LockedOn20. So use promo code LockedOn20 to get 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar's Twitter account will be tweeting out the match each day. These brackets will start March 8th. So next week, these head-to-head matchups will start out. So this week is all about seeding, leading up to April 2nd's Built Bar Championship. Which flavor will come out on top? Which flavor is your favorite? Let me know. And go to BuiltBar.com with promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off. A question here from Alexander on Twitter. In the last two drafts, the 49ers drafted a South Carolina player in Deebo Samuel and Javon Kinlaw. Do you think they will draft another one in J.C. Horn over Patrick Surtain, considering how it seems Shanahan and Lynch don't trust Alabama? Ooh, I like that question. That's an interesting one. And
By Reuben Foster. They're still holding a grudge.
And I think, I honestly think it's not even so much Reuben Foster. I mean, it has probably to do with that, but it's more about Saban and the folks at Alabama not being completely honest with him. And they really trust Herm Edwards over there at Arizona State. And they really, but it's a different coaching staff this year now in South Carolina. What's the guy's name that got fired? I think he got fired before this football season at South Carolina, their old head coach. So maybe they don't have the connections there anymore, and maybe they don't trust the people there, but they could still contact him, and you know, he still coached J.C. Horn. Oh, man, why am I drawing? I'm going to have to look that up real quick. Is the football head coach at South Carolina?
Yeah, who came after Steve Spurrier?
Will Muschamp?
That sounds right. It was Will Muschamp and then Mike Bobo last year for three games.
Oh, Mike Bobo was the current coach, the latest coach, and then it was
no. Right now, it's Shane Beamer.
Oh, that's what's his name's kid, right? I think it was Will Muschamp. I think he is the guy.
Willie Beamer.
Frank Beamer.
Stephen Willie Beeman.
Frank Beamer from Will. Yeah, Will Muschamp. That's the guy. Yeah, he was from 2016 to 2020 was the head coach. So I think they have a connection with Will Muschamp. But he won't be at the South Carolina Pro Day. So maybe they could still call him and find out about what's going on with J.C. Horn, even though he's been fired as their head coach at South Carolina. But there is a connection there, and I think that would not be super surprising if that was to happen. And height, weight, speed, those guys are pretty similar. I would definitely have Sertan ahead. But my guy Eric Crocker recently just came out with his rankings, and I trust him. And he really likes the physicality and competitiveness from J.C. Horn and actually listed him as his top cornerback in this class. So, yeah, there might be something to that. I would not be shocked at all if the 49ers drafted either one of those guys in the first round at number 12 overall.
Yeah, I mean, you drop a Crocker in there, I'm all of a sudden, you know, I've shifted my side as well.
Absolutely.
Yes, Crocker says it, I'm with him. Let's go.
Let's
Horn
see.
It is.
Greebs said, just listen to your mock draft episode. Why is Justin Fields slipping? To me, he's the guy to trade up for with the arm, toughness, and resume. Skipping him for Trey Lance after giving up so much in Sikkema's mock draft made my heart hurt. I don't disagree with you, Greebs.
Yeah.
I think Trey Lance and Justin Fields are both immensely physically talented, and I would be happy with either on the 49ers. But I think stock-wise, I just think that Justin Fields, after playing, you know, D1, big-time college football at a big-time school against better competition, playing two full seasons as the starter and the kicker of all of it when it comes to the 49ers, we know there's a personal connection. And Justin Fields was at that Mike Shanahan quarterback camp, and 49ers coaches, including Kyle Shanahan, were there and have worked with him in the past. So if they liked him then, and there's no reason not to like him now, I could see him being that guy who's like, I've been around him, I've coached him, I trust that person. You know, if they did like him, maybe it's the other way and they're like, yeah, I didn't really like that kid that much. And so maybe they would like Trey Lance a little bit better. But I would think Justin Fields goes first, and if it was a trade up scenario, Justin Fields much more likely than Trey Lance. But I just don't think the 49ers should do that either necessarily. Going all the way up to like pick three, it's too expensive. Did you see that mock draft, Nick?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's I just don't think they can give that up.
Two firsts, a second, a third, a fifth, or something like that. It's almost
like that doesn't sound like it's that much different than going and getting Deshaun Watson.
Exactly.
Like, pay a little bit more.
It's like one first rounder away from the Watson package.
Right. So I'll take the Watson package. Right. I mean, you mentioned it with Fields. It's competition. You know, when you're trading up to do something like that and you're investing a pick like that in a quarterback to you know, hopefully run your franchise for the next 10 years, you weigh everything. You know, when you weigh the fact that one guy played 1 year, you know, in essentially a D2 school, I know that doesn't exist anymore, but, and then you weigh it against, oh, this guy was at Ohio State. It's like, well, come on, that's an easy choice. Like, which way you're going to go with that? Because it's not just about the team too, it's your job. When you're GM and you're picking like that, like you're putting your reputation on the line and you're trusting your scouts and things like that. So yeah, it's, I totally get why Fields would be going up, you know, while Lance is going down. That just makes perfect sense.
And it's not even so much that I would pass on Lance because of those reasons. It's just that you could see
it's riskier.
Coming, right? And then 3 years, when you look back, you're like, gosh, they traded multiple first round picks to go up and get a guy who played 1 year at North Dakota State. Like, you could see that coming, right? So as talented as he is, and I would love to see the 49ers draft him at 12, I think he's a player you have to sit back and hope he falls to you. Or, you know, as just a very minor trade up of one or two spots that doesn't cost much.
Right. People be like, oh, but what about Joe Burrow? It's like, well, again, he was in, you know, D1.
Well, Zach
he won
Wilson.
A national championship.
Zach Wilson is more like Joe Burrow. He was around and then had that huge final season that really solidified his stock as one of the top prospects. So if you're drawing comparisons, I would say that that probably Lance is more comparable to like a Cam Newton or a Dwayne Haskins that just played for 1 year and had a really nice year, but it was only 1 year. And as you can tell with both of those big bodied quarterbacks, it can go very differently, you know, and Cam Newton's the one guy that's like, okay, he started for 1 year and it turned out pretty good. But most of the time that doesn't turn out great because that's one of the things with quarterbacks, just leading a team and some that experience. Most really good quarterbacks in the NFL played a while in college and at least started 2 or 3 years. Back in the day, it was like you didn't even take underclassmen, period, because every good quarterback ever played through their senior year in college. That's going away
get
now.
That national championship, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not to that degree anymore, but still, 1 year, it's like, oof, you're going to trade up for that guy? I don't know if I see that happening, which is why I think he's the fourth guy. And I love Trey Lance. And all the reports out of North Dakota State is that they put a ton on his plate. They asked him to make big-time throws. He didn't have any super easy throws. You know, he was under center. He was turning his back to the defense with play action. He was throwing the ball downfield. He was a leader. He's a hard worker. He's like everything off the charts character-wise that you want. But again, it's that 1 year at North Dakota State, which gives me some pause. And he was a little inaccurate because he had to make so many big throws and was throwing the ball down the field a lot. And Justin Fields is just, you know, saw the toughness. Lance has toughness too. Like, he'll run over a DB in the open field. It's pretty awesome. It's fun to watch. Like, I like these quarterbacks, but do any of them fall to the 49ers? And I hope to God the 49ers don't just sit back and draft boring old Mac Jones at 12.
No, I mean, you sit and you actually look at the draft order and it's like, Jaguars, yeah, need a quarterback. Jets, yeah, need a quarterback. Dolphins, possibly. Falcons, probably. You know, Bengals are good. Eagles are probably good. Lions, probably set, but you never know. I mean, and they may not be stoked on Goff, you know, maybe more about, oh, we got these draft picks and yeah, we absorbed his contract. And Panthers, you know, again, they're shopping Bridgewater, and the Broncos, Drew Lock, is he the answer? Cowboys, you know, it's like you go down the list and almost every one of the teams in front of the 49ers need that franchise quarterback.
Need a quarterback, or you could see some move that could happen to where they could potentially need a quarterback before draft day. So
exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. And some teams that could come up from behind the 49ers and go up and get a quarterback. There's the Bears, there's the Patriots, there's Washington, all back there that that have that need right now. Some of the dominoes will fall and some of those teams probably won't need a quarterback by draft day. So we'll see. Maybe the list will be shorter at that point. One more question here before I get to that. How about this? When I was trying to figure out what the value is in trade, talking with Cody Davis yesterday about a Deshaun Watson maneuver, what is Nick Bosa's value just by itself if it wasn't part of a Deshaun Watson trade? Like, if you were the New York Jets and Robert Saleh, he would trade the second pick for Bosa before he would take one of those quarterbacks and just roll with Sam Darnold, right?
Oh, of course.
In a heart.
No doubt. But the 49ers wouldn't take
deal. I would just to kind of see what the value is. I'm just wanted to run that by you because I had the thought. I was like, look, so if you're talking about, oh, that would be nice to have the number two overall pick in the draft, if you're the Houston Texans trading up there, that's the value of Nick Bosa, right? Like, Bosa could get you that second pick if the 49ers wanted to do that easily. The Niners obviously aren't going to do that, but that's the kind of value Nick Bosa has.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah.
Last one. This is from Eric. He said, at BD Peacock, at Bay Area Wink, hashtag Winky Wednesday. He wanted to make sure he got on this, even hashtag Locked On 49ers. So, Eric, we got you. Tired of the QB talk for the moment. All right, well, we're done talking QBs today.
Right. I hope you stuck around.
So here's a changeup. Yeah, he's like, well, not listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Screw it up, Eric. Have you guys tried chicken, jalapenos, and pineapple on a pizza? My girl loves Hawaiian style, and I don't care for it. Feel this is a great compromise. So that's the official Locked On 49ers pizza, but swapping out chicken for pepperoni. Your thoughts, Nick?
I mean, I not a big fan of chicken on pizza. Like, to honestly, the best thing on the pepperoni, jalapeno, and pineapple pizza is the pepperoni. So
yeah,
like, you took off the best part for me, so I'm out.
I'm all about the pepperoni on pizza. I'm with you. Like, chicken has its place, and I don't dislike chicken pizzas. It's kind of bland sometimes unless you're throwing sauce on it, and then you get the sweet barbecue chicken pizzas, and that's not really my jam. I don't like a lot of sweetness with the sauce.
Yeah.
I would much rather roll with the pepperoni. So
don't get me wrong, I'd be down to try it, but I don't know if I'd buy a whole pie. Like, if you had a slice, I'd be like, yeah, let me get a bite.
I would eat the heck out of one of those slices, but if there was one of those slices and the pepperoni, jalapeno, pineapple, I'd go with the pep.
And just honestly, if I had to pick one topping for the rest of my life, it's pepperoni, and there's not even a close second.
It's not close. There's not even a conversation.
Right.
Good stuff. I'm glad we're on the same page right there.
I know, right? I mean, we were going to have to end this show if you were like, yeah, that sounds great. Screw pepperoni.
Feels great, baby.
Peacock. Yeah, I don't even know you anymore.
Is on fire.
You just had to start talking about pizza to get Wink fired up. That's all it took.
I'm sweating right now. I'm actually going to go get some pizza.
All right, good stuff. You know what? I am too. I think I've got a take and bake in the freezer. I might just pop in the oven right now. Although we might have to find something that we disagree heavily on, because I did get an email from a listener that wants us to disagree more. So we got to find something and go head to head. Go Stephen A. and Skip Bayless style for a Wednesday in the near future. Good stuff, Nick. Thanks as always.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Be back tomorrow right here. Locked On 49ers.